You know, as a reporter, one of the things you love to do with a newsmaker like President Biden or a senator is like when they walk away from the podium, you know, you shout out a question, right? Like, hey, what do you think about this? And normally the president will stop and they're kind of like, I don't know if I want to answer that question. President Trump loved to answer those questions. He'd turn around and come back. He'd love to get in fights with reporters all the time, you know? So if you're like one of the president's handlers, you don't want him stopping and answering these questions. You want him walking off, right? Well, he was walking off at the press conference yesterday in Geneva when CNN's Caitlin Collins, who I'm friends with, she's a great reporter at CNN, by the way. I knew her back when she worked at the Daily Caller. And anyway, she's a good, really good reporter, hardworking. But she asked a totally fair question about his 3 hours that he sat with Vladimir Putin. She said, why are you so confident that he'll change his behavior, Mr. President? And President Biden snapped at her. Watch this.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident change behavior. What the hell? What do you do all the time?
So
when did I say I was confident?
You
I
said in the next 6 months you'd be able to determine.
What I said was, let's get it straight. I said what will change their behavior is if the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. Just stating the fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how does that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin?
You don't understand that. You're in your own business.
It's a summit with China.
We need to love. Quickly, let's go. Quickly.
So if you don't understand that, you're in the wrong business. So it was a constructive question. She's like, he's shown no signs of changing in the past. Like, why did you say it was a constructive meeting? Good question. Like, what now? What about this particular meeting shows you that he's going to change in any kind of constructive way? He basically said he's not going to do anything against Alexei Navalny. He's not going to do anything on a whole host of issues. So why is he going to suddenly change his opinion on this? He grow up in some way. Have you ever known, like, Putin to change? I mean, like, what? Why is it our position to try to make him change anyway? I mean, this is who he is. So, and by the way, like, are we supposed to literally, like, ask, like, fawning questions? So half an hour later, on the tarmac before Air Force One took off, Biden came over to the press pool and said, look, I owe my last question an apology. I shouldn't have been such a wise guy with that last answer that I gave. So he offered an apology, but then he was asked again in his apology about a lack of concrete movement between him and Putin. And Biden said, look, I get it. To be a good reporter, you got to be negative. You've got to have a negative view of life. Okay, I got it. It seems to me the way you all are, you never ask a positive question. Is that their job? Like, Mr. President, why are you so handsome? Mr. President, what's your favorite dog? Mr. President, what's it like having the dogs at the White House? You just sat down with Vladimir Putin for 3 hours. The guy has invaded Ukraine. The guy literally tried to kill Alexei Navalny. Okay, like, is this not a... Should we not be having these conversations here? Of course, sharp questions are designed to do exactly what they've done. You know, it elicits what the person is really thinking. Because if you ask a sharp question, it sometimes throws you off your game and you're forced to give an honest answer, not a talking points answer. That's why reporters ask tough questions, right? And that's my opinion. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Did he handle it okay, or was the reporter out of line? Let me know in the comments. Let me know in the comments below.
I mean, this is like, you know, I learned this lesson from Wizard of Oz as a kid, you know, that like, when the curtain comes open, they're like, no, don't look back here. Ignore this. You know, like, what are you doing? Softball questions, please.
Right. Yeah. They, you know, emperor has no clothes. Just ask the simple questions. Don't, you know, we can't show you what's behind door number one. So ask the fawning questions, you know, go back to the Obama years when you would just ask like really fawning questions of President Obama in the press corps, you know. Is President Obama going to play basketball with Shaquille O'Neal next week? You know, so I think, you know, you have a negative view of life. That's what he said. You have to have a negative view of life to ask tough questions, to ask these types of questions. You never ask a positive question. Maybe he'd know that more if he had more press conferences. that reporters aren't there to just like, you know, ask these softball things.
Well, I mean, even if it was a negative view of life, even if that's what's going on, maybe that's what makes a great reporter. That doesn't make the question invalid. And it doesn't make, you know, like if you can't answer the question, it doesn't matter if it's a negative one. If there's a positive answer, put a positive, you know, answer on it.
And what's a negative view of life in that question? You know, the question is, Putin has, you know, invaded sovereign territories, has threatened to kill descendants who stand up for democracy and human rights in his country, literally having them poisoned. And then when they return to the Russian soil, they're locked up. Okay, it's not a negative view of life. It's just a fact, right?
I mean, when life is negative, if you point it out, does that make you negative? I mean, come on.
Right. I guess so. Like, if you're constantly just reading the news and thinking about negative things, maybe you just become a negative person. And then that's what the press is. You're just negative all the time. I don't get it. Yeah. Bay Harbor beauty. Yes. We'll have some technical analysis here in a minute. I'm going to show you what's going on in the stimulus. We're going to look at what the Fed had to say in a moment. We're going to also look at Bitcoin and the markets. We're going to look at the U.S. dollar this morning, where things are going, and gold prices all in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at stamps.com, our friends, because are you still going to the post office right now? I mean, there's no reason to be going to the post office during a pandemic or anytime. I mean, if I can avoid the post office, I will. I will avoid the post office like it is a pandemic. Like, who wants to go to the post office? And if you could do this all right from home, right? Print USPS postage, US Postal Service postage right from home. It's a must-have for any business. Whether you're a small business, small office, sending out invoices, a side hustle, an Etsy shop, sending out orders, it doesn't matter. You can do all of it right on your computer. Simply print official US postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. Now, notice at the top part of your screen, go to stamps.com. And if you click on the little microphone at the top, you'll see a little microphone that says invest. When you click on that, there's no risk. You'll get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in invest right there as a promo code. And you will get that free scale, 4 weeks trial, plus free postage. That's stamps.com, promo code INVEST. So our thanks to stamps.com for their support of our show. All right, we've got a lot more news to get to this morning. Let's talk about the Federal Reserve. There's never a dull day when Jerome Powell comes to town with the market hanging on to his every word. So on Wednesday, Fed Chief Jerome Powell got to finally hold this meeting. Everyone was wondering what was going to happen. The Fed basically raising its expectations of inflation
3.5% by
a little bit earlier than we thought it would. And, you know, this is an interesting moment for the Fed because they have an opportunity now to really pull back. They have an opportunity to say, hey, we're done funneling billions of dollars to Wall Street, buying up mortgage-backed securities, propping up all of these big companies right now, offering them basically 0% debt so that they can buy back, you know, their own shares and not really do any hiring. And he basically said yesterday that he sees inflation considerably coming earlier, saying the headline figure could reach 3.4%. That's a full point higher than its forecast back in March. I mean, to me, you know, if you're reading this, I mean, that means that there's more risk in the market than they previously thought. If you're thinking that we're going to see inflation at 3.4% and we're moving there more quickly, that to me signals trouble ahead. Jerome Powell still feels the price pressures will be short-lived, though, still transitory on all of this. You know, I think you could read these tea leaves maybe a little bit differently, but he says this inflation is just going to be transitory. It's not going to last very long. The Federal Reserve predicted 2 interest rate hikes through 2023, sending U.S. stocks down. Fed Chief Jerome Powell did not say when these hikes will come. The Federal Reserve has locked in historically low rates since the pandemic, but now the pandemic has eased and economic recovery has led to price inflation. God knows we've seen the cost of everything, right? Everything has gone up. At the grocery store, just buying milk, just buying meat. Yesterday I saw a story about chicken. chicken prices at an all-time high. So if you want to go get your Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich right now, ridiculously overpriced to get chicken right now. Fed is going to remove this low rate lock and begin to start moving rates back up. So interest rates, though, they said, you know, it won't happen until 2023. So here we are in 2021. You're going to wait 2 more years for this? It seems kind of odd to me. I mean, I have to admit, I was surprised, given the recent inflation numbers that we've seen, given the amount of thing, you know, paying more for milk, paying more for just about everything, housing prices skyrocketing. What more evidence do you need that you need to do something more quickly? 2023? He says inflation has come in above expectations in the last few months. Yeah, you think? He said the items that have driven inflation, however, have been items that are related to the pandemic, such as lumber. Okay, but lumber prices just plummeted. 40% drop in lumber prices over the past few days. He said over time, it seems likely that these very specific things are driving up inflation, that they will be temporary. Just going to be temporary. Let's check the U.S. dollar this morning. I mean, the dollar price this morning is up significantly. This is a pretty big move for the U.S. dollar because, let's take a look at this. So this is the U.S. dollar index. And I think it's important to note what's happening here. We haven't seen the dollar hit these types of levels in a long time. So let's just look at the historical trend of the dollar right now. Look, the dollar index is 91.7, right? So this is what happened yesterday. The dollar exploded. And then look what happened to the price of gold yesterday. This could be a huge buying opportunity for gold. 1782, we saw where it was just a week ago, right? Mid-1800s, almost pushing towards 2000 on this news. This is like a nice little retest right here, from my opinion, on silver and gold. Almost the same exact pattern. But when we look at the dollar right now, you know, this is back to the 1980s. Look at this, okay? Or April 1985. Look at here, around the dot-com bubble, okay, when the dollar takes off. And now, here we are, where the dollar is in this little retest moment and is starting to take off again. So that's good news for people that have their money in cash, but this won't last very long because every time we have these spikes in the dollar, we have this afterwards, right? Look at here in 1985. See these big cliffs that occur? So we could see a nice little run up in the US dollar. Hey, that's great if you're trying to transfer money between the United States and Europe and you're trying to play one against the other right now. Great. If you've got some money in the U.S. Treasuries, great. That's helpful in that way. But and you could be moving in other areas right now, and it's a really a great buying opportunity, moving into like commodities, buying gold, buying silver, and buying things that are on sale right now that were well up because the U.S. dollar had been down. So this sent the U.S. dollar to a two-month high yesterday. Stock futures also slipped further overnight, with the Dow and the S&P 500 down about a quarter point respectively. So these numbers were down a little bit. NASDAQ off by about half a point. Meanwhile, bond yields went higher yesterday. So if you were a bond holder, Bitcoin sold off a bit, not too much. Both have paired back in recent. So here's Bitcoin at 38,000 today. So if you're a Bitcoin holder, could be heading to that retest moment, maybe 37. Before it shoots on up to that $38,000 range. I did want to look at a little closer at Bitcoin. Someone was asking me here in the chat a second ago, like, can you show me some data? So I think what's interesting on Bitcoin right now is, again, I'm overall very, very bullish on Bitcoin and the market and the crypto market. I think that Bitcoin right now could be heading for this retest. If it pops down a little bit more here is when I'd want to be loading up on Bitcoin before it takes off. I see price targets right now at 42, 44,000 for Bitcoin. And then what'll likely happen is another little sell-off, a little retest before it takes off again. Now, again, we're waiting for this little moment. We want support. So if it comes down to this 35 range or even, down to 38 range and then it bounces back up, great. That's a buying opportunity in my opinion. If it trails down, it could end up hitting that 30, even $25,000 level. So we need to be careful about Bitcoin right now, but I'm still very bullish because all of the indicators are there. All of the indicators are showing me that we are in for a retest where whales are sitting on short positions right now. They're hoping for this dump off in Bitcoin and they're going to be buying up like crazy. That's what all the indicators are showing right now. all across the board. The Bitcoin short markets right now is exactly showing us that. All of the people trying to short Bitcoin. I mean, I showed you this chart the other day. Look at this. Look how many whales, I'm talking billionaires right now, are shorting Bitcoin. This is the Bitcoin shorts chart. Folks, look at that. That means that over the past few days, this is how many Bitcoin whales are counting on Bitcoin's price to plummet. So they're all sitting here because they know it's coming. And then what's going to happen? Bitcoin's going to drop down 38, 37, 35,000, maybe 30, and they're going to buy it up like crazy. So again, I warned you about this the other day on Monday's show. You need to be prepared. Get ready. Be ready. Be prepared to not freak out. Like, I'm a Bitcoin holder. I am not going to sell my Bitcoin when suddenly we see this big decline. You know why? Because I don't want to sell my Bitcoins to these guys. These guys are waiting. These guys are waiting to buy your Bitcoins right now, these billionaires. Don't fall for it, in my opinion. So I am not going to be selling any Bitcoin while we go through this little retest in the next few days. It's coming. Get ready for it. When you see billions of dollars coming into Bitcoin's short markets right here, that's exactly what's happening. Let's look at Ethereum. Ethereum also. I think Ethereum could head down to that $1,800 range, or anywhere between $2,000 and $2,400 right now would be a good buying opportunity on Ethereum. And same thing is true with Ethereum. Just waiting to pounce. So just keep your eye on this moment right now. That's where we are on those markets. But again, gold prices today, if you're looking at gold commodities, silver down on this news from Jay Powell yesterday. Significant moves here. Like, really good buying opportunities, in my opinion, for some of these big commodities on this US dollar news. So there you go. I do want to talk about Bitcoin this morning. The World Bank stepped in yesterday. This was a bit of a shock. I mean, we'd been talking about this on the show about a week ago when El Salvador, the president, of course, tweeted out that they were going to now accept Bitcoin as legal tender in the country of El Salvador. Well, now, sadly, the World Bank says it's not going to support El Salvador to implement Bitcoin as legal currency. I think they're scared. Now, let's be honest. The World Bank, they claim that this is due to Bitcoin's environmental impact and transparency shortcomings. They say they just have trouble with El Salvador using this as legal tender because they say transparency shortcomings. What? Do they not understand how this technology works? Environmental impact makes sense. Well, I get that argument. Bitcoin can be an energy hog if it's mined on CPU intensive computers. And then there's a big movement right now, of course, to mine it on renewable energy, but it's not yet prevalent. But, you know, hey, El Salvador could be doing it on volcanoes, as we talked about here on the show, right? Geothermal energy could be one of the cleanest in the world if they mine Bitcoin in El Salvador on volcanoes and geothermal energy. But all Bitcoin transactions are public. They're traceable. And they're permanently stored on the blockchain. That's why criminals are now moving away from Bitcoin and crypto, because it's traceable, unlike traditional bank transactions. Maybe the World Bank doesn't understand this technology, I don't know, but El Salvador had asked the World Bank for technical assistance in implementing the cryptocurrency. The country can still move forward on all of this, but they were hoping to have it adopted within 3 months with the World Bank's help. Now it just looks like that's not going to happen. It looks like the World Bank is putting its foot down and not going to help them. No, you can do this on your own. We're not going to help you.
Well, if you look at how quickly the IMF came down on El Salvador once they proposed that, I mean, IMF came out like right away, which, you know, like that's kind of their business model, is get people indebted to them and then you have to do everything right they say. But that was there was a push a week ago on Reddit, and I haven't gone back and double checked how it turned out, but people were trying to basically crowdfund the $1 billion it would take El Salvador to buy themselves out of debt from the IMF.
That's amazing. Like, hey, we're going to do a GoFundMe to help this country get off the ground. That's amazing.
That's basically what it was. And I still need to go back and try to find that article and see if there's been an update on it. But yeah, I mean, like, if the people want something like that, you know, want Bitcoin as an alternative to fiat currencies, and you have a country doing that, and the people are like, you know what? No, we're going to buy you out of IMF. Well, you know, it's interesting. Now the World Bank coming down too. But IMF was on that of the like that same day. They were like, no, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, because they're scared. I mean, they're scared. And then here's what happened. You know, the very same day when a 3,000 person village in El Salvador became known as Bitcoin Beach. Like, hey, I'm buying Pepsi here with Bitcoin. We accept Bitcoin. Come up here and accept Bitcoin. You know, El Zonte is a village on the Pacific coast, has a population of 3,000 people and is popular for surfing and fishing. And now, according to Reuters, El Zonte is visibly poor with dirt roads and faulty drainage system. And apparently an anonymous donor in the U.S. reportedly began selling Bitcoin to nonprofits in the area with an aim of finding ways to build sustainable cryptocurrency ecosystem in the community. The nonprofit workers in El Zonte, in consultation with the donor, launched Bitcoin Beach, an initiative that injected the cryptocurrency into the local economy, set people up with digital wallets, and helped businesses set up systems to accept Bitcoin payments. Wow. And it worked. Imagine that. Poor people, now that actually have access to banks. The unbanked, where you have 70% of their country that have never had access to capital before, now have a digital wallet. Wow, wait, I can make money now? I can earn money? I can pay for things? Imagine that. See what happens when you help people. You're empowering, isn't it? Speaking of empowering, let's talk about the stimulus this morning. Or disempowering, however you want to read it. So this morning we're learning that there are a number of Republicans who are now coming together and are agreeing on a stimulus package. 11 members of the Senate have now said that they would support, 11 GOP senators are backing a bipartisan infrastructure plan and a framework, which would basically give the bill enough votes to pass the Senate. If all Democrats get on board, they'd have to, right? But several liberal senators, including Bernie Sanders and others, have said they don't want any plan that does not go far enough on climate change or helps income inequality. Democrats are deciding whether or not to abandon bipartisan talks altogether, just pass the bill on their own. Senator Schumer and the Budget Committee said they're going to start to set up the groundwork to do so if bipartisan talks fall apart. Meanwhile, President Biden hasn't even seen the plan yet. He's still traveling back from overseas. But I think it's interesting, right? So Democrats are basically saying, hey, look, and let me be very clear. Like, I am an independent. I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I think they're both run by corporatists. Big businesses run Washington, right? So, but when you have these fringe members of the progressive wing of the party saying, we're not going to do anything unless this includes infrastructure for the environment and making sure that income inequality in the United States is like, that's part of our infrastructure. Is it not? Should it not be considered part of our infrastructure? Or, I mean, I guess not, right? If you're Senator Pat Toomey, Pennsylvania senator, who's, you know, on his way out anyway, and basically he thinks that, you know, hey, as long as we don't talk about anything that has to do with helping people, as long as we're just focused on roads and bridges, as long as we don't help people, then I guess I'd be for this thing. But Democrats clearly want a welfare state. That's how they're spinning this thing. He spoke just about 10 minutes ago.
I'm looking at it closely. I'm open to it. I will say, you know, getting 10 or 11 Republicans looks like it probably wouldn't be enough because we have some Democrats who are refusing to go along with a package that doesn't include the expansion of the welfare state. So it's going to be tricky, but I'm open to looking at the specifics in this proposal.
What? The welfare state. So I don't know. Here's a story. I mean, what about this, Senator? If I can find the story. I just deleted it. Yeah, here we go. I mean, is this the welfare state when basically members of Congress are saying we actually would prefer to have, why is this not opening the right place for me? Here we go. Moratorium is ending with more than 8 million households facing foreclosure and eviction. 8 million people about to lose their homes right now. Is that not part of infrastructure? Like making sure that people have housing in the United States? Schools? Most of the homeowners at risk of foreclosure are either low income or families of color. Congress has dedicated $10 billion, just $10 billion, to help homeowners get caught up on payments. But it's unclear if that funding will make it to the families before their mortgage companies begin sending out foreclosure notices. Separately, millions more renters are on the brink of eviction. 6 million households are still behind on rent and could face eviction at the end of June when those federal protections expire. So that's just an expansion of the welfare state, Senator Pat Toomey. Yeah. So the welfare of people being kicked out of their home. So where are you going to put them? Going to go to homeless shelters now? You're going to have a massive expansion of the welfare state then if, you know, homeless shelters are overrun. What are you going to do? Just going to have set up tent cities like they do in California and other places outside in Washington, D.C., right outside of your office, by the way, Senator. Start setting up some tents. Get these people set up with some, you know, get them some bottled water. That's all they need, right? They don't need a job. They don't need a house. I love you can just sit there on your high horse like these, I mean, these senators and just so out of touch, so out of touch.
Well, I mean, with all of the legalization of drugs, it's starting to like take hold. They need to fill the for-profit prison somehow. So maybe that's the plan to just make everybody homeless. And then they're like, well, we got a place for you.
Right. Yeah, because these for-profit prison systems, right, they funnel money to their campaigns. You know, the isn't that amazing to think we have a for-profit prison system in the United States? No wonder it's filled up with so many people.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's a you know, it's a snake eating its own tail, isn't it? I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's amazing. You know, maybe he should talk to Jerome Powell, because actually Jerome Powell yesterday during the press conference actually talked about income inequality. He talked about this very issue.
3.5% by the end of 2023.
The unemployment rate, listen.
The economic downturn has not fallen equally on all Americans, and those least able to shoulder the burden have been hardest hit. In particular, despite progress, joblessness continues to fall disproportionately on lower-wage workers in the service sector and on African Americans and Hispanics.
Oh, well, it's just an expansion of the welfare state, though, Jerome Powell. Like, we can't help those people, can we? Can't help those people. They're just people of color. I guess they're not real Americans then, right? We just should ignore them, Senator Pat Toomey. Just ignore those people. It's just an expansion of the welfare state. For who cares if they lose their homes? Who cares if they're homeless? But Pat Toomey thinks, hey, this economy is roaring. So why would we be helping people at all right now? I just can't even understand it. I mean, everyone's doing great. I just don't understand why we were doing it. Why do we even care about doing any kind of a stimulus, any kind of an infrastructure? This economy's booming. Everyone's happy. He's like, I'm richer than ever now.
If you can receive unemployment benefits indefinitely that pay more than it pays you to go to work, well, a certain number of people are not going to go to work. I think that's just common sense. But, you know, I think the big...
Actually, it's not common sense. And on this show over the past couple of weeks, we've debunked that myth, Senator. Multiple times, and data from your own government has shown that that's not the case. A very small fraction of those that have remained at home due to unemployment benefits. Overwhelmingly, it's because of childcare. It's because of transportation that's been shut down, so they don't have access to the bus route that they once had, or their business is gone, or medical reasons. It's not unemployment. And by the way, another big piece of this, of course, is also the fact that these jobs, or many of them, pay really low wages. They're treated poorly, like we talked about yesterday in the Amazon story. So it's not common sense, Senator.
Picture here that we shouldn't lose sight of is our economy is not in a recovery mode anymore. We're in a full-blown expansion. We were in recovery in the third quarter of last year when we grew by 30%. Now, we've got a really robust expansion, as you know. The Fed is projecting 7% real GDP growth this year, unemployment getting down to 4.5%. And with prices rising all around us, it's 2023 before there's a median agreement that we get off zero, and we're still buying bonds at $120 billion a month.
You're conflating two points here, Senator. I get your point about propping up Wall Street. Like, why are we buying up junk bonds from Wall Street? Why are we helping billionaire corporations? I get that piece of it. Great, good point. But this robust economy where everybody's doing great, there's a K-shaped recovery here. How are we so great when I'm showing you this story right here? With moratorium ending, more than 8 million people are going to be out of their homes, homeless evictions, foreclosures. I get it. So you're conflating two points here. You know, you're forgetting that the Fed basically helps Wall Street. That's the Fed's job, to funnel money and give cheap money to Wall Street. That's okay. I'm with you on that then. They've been doing just fine. But now you're going to stand in the way of any kind of meaningful infrastructure package. So we'll see. You know, this is where we are, though, where we have these senators now that are ready to move forward, 11 GOP senators on this sort of smaller, bipartisan infrastructure plan. We'll see what the president says when he comes back. But his timeline, his deadline for stimulus and getting this infrastructure package is quickly approaching. I mean, they wanted to have this done and ready to go and ready to roll out by the 4th of July. I mean, we're like, what, 2 weeks away from that already? And of course, Congress goes on vacation anyway. So they'll be off like for most of July, and then almost all of August, they're gone. So if we're going to get anything done, it's got to get done sooner rather than later. Or we're not going to see any kind of a stimulus package. Let me know your thoughts in the comments here. Do you agree with Pat Toomey?
I mean, I take issue with any, like any senator, but like senators in particular, but somebody like going after working people saying that they're lazy because they're making more off unemployment, so they're not going to want to go to work. When was the last time these guys have done anything? Right. Like if my employment model was anytime you ask me for an edit, I'll be like, well, I'll do it if David does this other like completely opposite thing. Other than that, no, I'm not going to do anything. You know, like,
well, it's like my kids. Well, I'll clean up my room if Ava cleans up her room. It's like,
right.
I wasn't talking to Ava. I was talking to you. Your room is a mess. Mind your own, you know, like, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. I mean, there's no other employment model where anybody would keep their job if when they showed up to work that day, they're like, today I'm going to try to do as little as possible.
That's my goal. I'm going to do as little as possible. It's like Costanza.
Yeah.
I'm going to do as little as possible today at work. Like, what if I just didn't feel like doing a show today? I just slept in, you know? Well, it's my choice. It's my show. I guess I could do whatever I want. But, you know, then I couldn't, like, take care of my employees. I couldn't, you know, you wouldn't be given a good news show every morning, like a place to sit down and have your cup of coffee every morning and learn something about the world. Like, our sponsors of our show would be pissed. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But these guys get into office and they immediately start running for re-election.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that with my editing clients. I'm just going to go Bartleby the Scrivener the whole time. Just anytime somebody's like, hey, can I get these videos? Like, yeah, I'd prefer not to.
I'd prefer not to. Yeah. Well, I do prefer to tell you about our show sponsor, our friends over at Policy Genius. If you've been around the pike here, you know why Policy Genius is so great. You know, summer begins this month, and you know what that means. It's time to start saving on life insurance. That way you'll have a bigger budget for summer things like pool floaties, hand sanitizers, and hand seltzers, by the way, hard seltzers, and hand sanitizers. Get all of it this summer. If you're going to a water park, you definitely want a hand sanitizer. My wife refuses to go to water parks because of that very reason. So between Father's Day, which is coming up, Flag Day, and National Yo-Yo Day, the month of June has a lot going on. Thankfully, Policy Genius makes it easier to cross life insurance off of your list so you can get back to going yo-yoing with your kids. Grover loves yo-yoing. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. And why would you want to compare? Well, because you can save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. It's so easy to get started. You just go to policygenius.com, and in minutes you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need, compare personalized quotes to find your best price. They don't have any extra fees. They're fantastic. Head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Thanks, Policy Genius, for supporting independent journalism and our show here on Morning Invest. Really appreciate that. Well, it's being called the Great Resignation. Right now, upwards of 40% of workers are thinking about quitting their jobs. A new study out. 40% of Americans quitting their jobs this year. Why? What's going on here? Are you one of these people? Let me know in the comments what you think about this. But companies basically that made it through the pandemic in one piece now have a new problem. More than a quarter of their employees are planning on leaving. Workers have had more than a year basically to reconsider work-life balance or career paths since they've been home. And as the world opens back up, many of them are giving 2 weeks notice and are making changes now as they're being asked to report back to the office. And they're calling it this great resignation because that's what economists are calling it anyway. The survey shows that from 25% up to 40% of workers are thinking about quitting their jobs. Anthony Klotz, an associate professor of management at Texas A&M, says, I don't envy the challenge that human resources faces right now. What's going on here, though? I mean, I think the larger question is, why is this happening? Well, some are quitting because their bosses won't let them work from home post-pandemic. Others are basically saying they miss their offices, but their companies are now hybrid or all remote. So they liked going to the office, and now they're remote. So there's like a mixed bag here. Like, oh, I want to go to the office because now I want to get out of the house. And people, like, you know, a lot of people like going to the office. I'm not one of those people. But there are people that find that therapeutic. Get out of the house, going to my day, you know, you have a routine, you get to the office, you get to focus on work, then you get to go home and you unplug. I understand that. But a lot of people are just finding that the offices they come back to is not the office they left. And also, a lot of people are saying, you know what? Life is so short. Overwhelmingly, a number of people in this survey are just like, you know what? Life is short. I don't want to work for this crappy company anymore. They treat me badly. The wages are low. I'm doing things that I don't want to be doing. I don't support the company's mission. I see during this pandemic that the company treated us poorly, or they got enormous, like these, the CEOs of the companies made enormous amounts of money while we had our hours cut. And now we're being asked to come back at full capacity and you haven't really taken care of us at all. Be curious what you guys think in the chat about this. Where you guys think, you know, I think there's, you know, there's an opportunity for these companies to do something. And you're seeing that actually in some of these companies who are saying, you know, we could actually have people come back and take care of these people by increasing the amount of money that they make, right? We could actually increase their wages. The Washington Post had an interesting piece this morning about that, hey, you know what? This is interesting. If we want to have people come back to the office, here's one way to do it. Give them incentives to come back. Give them a raise. Give them a better living wage. Actually pay them well, and people would want to come back. But I think a lot of people are just saying, I just don't want to go work for this company anymore. I don't believe in what they stand for. I think they're, you know, people have had a little more space to ask themselves, is really what I want to be doing in my life? And after like a year from there, they're like, I don't really want this anymore. Others are considered switching careers entirely. A cruise ship staffer trained and pivoted to work in a data center because the pandemic showed her the volatility of the industry. So she was working on the cruise ship and suddenly like she was like, can't, you know, I switched jobs. Now I'm working in a data center. An insurance broker and her restaurant manager husband both left their jobs to start a landscaping company because they realized during the pandemic they wanted to spend more time outside. I wonder if you're experiencing this. Let me know in the chat what you guys think about this. Here's a story, though, my favorite story of the day. And it's about time that we actually start talking about this story. So the Pentagon has now released the UFO report, has just been sent over to Congress. And it's jaw-dropping. So this is Nick Pope, who is a former, he used to work for British, the British Department of Defense in Britain. I think that's the name of it. I don't know what you call it over there. Does anybody know what they call it over there in Britain? Anyone can think of it. Anyway, so they're sending this new UFO report to Congress, and a number of members of the House of Congress have now seen it. And what you're seeing, I think, over the past couple of weeks has been this ramp up from members of Congress trying to say that it's China, that it's Russia, that it's got to be from Earth, and that's why we need to start spending more money on our military, and this is a national security threat, and this and that. Well, according to the the leaked information that's going over to the Pentagon. Apparently, this report says that, and one member of the one House of Representatives member came forward and said, it's not China, it's not Russia. Deep space. Like, they do not have this technology. And it was also confirmed in this report that it's not us. Okay, so to be clear, it's not the United States. It's not Russia. It's not China. Then who the frick is it? Who is able to travel like this? I asked a Marine Corps pilot, highly decorated Marine Corps pilot, a captain, last week about this. He said, absolutely nothing we own could come close to this. Not even in the same hemisphere of technology. Could move like this, could plummet. This is Jeremy Corbell, who's been doing a lot of questions about this, raising a lot of questions about this. These videos taken by the Navy, confirmed by the Navy Government Task Force, confirmed now by the Pentagon, where you have these UFOs traveling at 15,000 knots underwater, stopping on a dime, and then accelerating at an unbelievable rate. Unlike anything, and it literally would rip the human body apart. So we have a member of the House of Representatives now in this piece being interviewed, and here's saying that, in fact, clearly there's something going out. This is Tim Burchett, congressman, says clearly something's going on that we can't handle. Representative Patrick Maloney, we take the issue of unexplained aerial phenomenon seriously. To the extent that we're dealing with safety and security of U.S. military personnel or national security interests of the United States, we want to know what we're dealing with. Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says it's interesting and claimed he learned things that were certainly new to me. But he said, I'm going to leave it at that for now. Representative Andre Carson, chaired the classified briefing and said it was significant and a timely topic and a risk to him. We're looking forward to having a public hearing at some point. So you're going to continue, folks, to hear this idea that it's some national security concerns that we need to start spending more money on our military. But the fact of the matter is, it's not China, it's not Russia, and it's not us. And if they wanted to do something to us, if it was China, they would own the United States by now. Like, if they had this kind of technology, we'd be done. Russia, the same. Russia, the absolute same. So it's not them. And then you really think that it's a national security threat, these whatever they are from what other solar system, whatever universe, whatever other planet. It's something we need to start. We're going to be able to do anything about it. So we need to spend billions more on our military defense. They don't give, like, they, we are ants to them. We are like puny little ants. Do they think they give us a rat's behind about us? And if they actually wanted to hurt us, they would have done it a long time ago, don't you think? I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but this Pentagon report, I can't wait to see it made public. I hope we get to see all the details of this. But the fact that now we have, like, Representative Burchett saying, I have a hard time thinking that Moscow is involved in this in any way. If they had this kind of advanced technology, he said, Putin would already own America. It's going to spill. This is going to be a very big story. So, I mean, it's been a slow trickle. I've been really excited about it. I have friends who've been covering this story for many, many years. People like Leslie Kane, who's an amazing researcher, amazing journalist. She's done unbelievable work talking to government officials, generals, people who've worked in the military, people who've worked at Area 51, all of those areas who've reverse engineered craft, who've worked on these craft. And it's finally coming out. Finally. Get to hear about this. And I love that it's buried like on page 3 of newspapers. Like, isn't this the biggest story in the world? But it's like buried, you know?
It's because they're holding off trying to figure out how they can spin it to make El Salvador the culprit. They're like, actually, it turns out it was El Salvador the whole time.
Right. El Salvador, 70% of its people are unbanked. Their currency has collapsed, but they have technology that can move at the speed of light, stop on a dime.
We have to stop their Bitcoin mining.
We have to stop the El Salvadorans. And finally, Dave, let's wrap it up with this story. Did you guys see this Ronaldo story? So that's why I asked you, Philip, at the beginning, like, are you a footballer? Are you a fan of football? So Ronaldo, of course, one of the greatest soccer players ever, one of the greatest football players ever from Portugal. The big cup is happening right now. And, you know, Coca-Cola is a sponsor of the big tournament right now, right? So after the game the other night, the Portugal-Hungary game, Portugal, there's Ronaldo on your right, the Portugal-Hungary game, Portugal won 3-0, right? So he sits down at the press conference, and it's sponsored by Coca-Cola. So there's two Cokes right there on the desk, right? So he sits down. Agua.
Okay.
So all he did was pick up a bottle of water. Like the most famous footballer arguably maybe in history at this point, and one of the best. I mean, he has like a record number of goals this season already. And he holds up a bottle of water and says, Agua. Coca-Cola's market cap plummeted $4 billion as a result. That's all it took. It's literally all it took was him.
Boa tarde a todos. Queria dar as boas-vindas à conferência de imprensa da televisão do Portugal.
All it took was him to pick up a bottle of water and Coca-Cola's market cap plummets that much. That just goes to show you. And so we wanted to show my son this because, like, you know, because he'll have a couple of his friends like who'll have like soda occasionally. He's never had soda in his life and makes us proud parents. But like, you know, because he loves Ronaldo. So it's like, here you go. Like, here's Agua. I just love that story. And then yeah, Coke came out. You see that?
Yeah, I saw that. I read that this morning. I thought that was pretty funny.
Cool. And then Coke came out and they're like, we provided Coke Zero, which has, you know, zero sugar and regular Coke. And our athletes can drink whatever they like. I thought they handled it pretty well. Like, don't make more of a story about it than it is. But like, it was like the little subtle moment of like the world's greatest athlete, like putting his, like just sliding it away. Like, this is poison. Like, let's
Did you ever watch Parks and Rec? I mean, that response sounds so much like Sweetums, you know, like, well, hey, we've got, you know, like diet water or whatever.
Diet water. Yeah. Diet water. Oh, man. It's like, no, that's not. So, okay, you removed actually, then you remove sugar from it. Then what actually are you drinking? Like, what sort of weird chemicals is this? It's like when people like, you know, drink. I used to have a friend in college who was, he was crazy. I mean, he would drink like 7 Diet Cokes a day. I can only imagine like what that was doing to his brain.
Wow.
Like Diet it's Cokes. Like a,
well, the, I mean, the regular soda, because I have soda maybe once every couple years. I just don't really care for it. I'm not a big sweets person because it's basically like a bullet to your pancreas. Isn't, you know, like that's,
yeah.
It's like with that much fructose coming into your body at the same time. But yeah, I don't
know. That's exactly what it is.
I don't do the diet sodas either.
Yeah. It's like, no, the diet sodas are the worst too. And I had a friend who was like a researcher in Washington said that the chemicals and that stuff. I mean, I think there was a story we even did in the newsletter a few weeks ago talking about diet soda. Like, they think there's like links to dementia now. I don't know, but yeah, don't touch that stuff. Just water, you know, or like a seltzer. Get like a Soda Stream and just make like seltzer water with like a lemon in it, you know, or like a lime. And then it's it kind of feels like you're having a soda. Like if you're addicted to soda, like that's a good way to get unaddicted to it. You know, I was in college in the University of Pittsburgh, man. I'd fill up those 30, I'd fill up like something like this big. I'd go into the student union, go in and I'd fill it up with like Dr. Pepper, you know, and I'd come back after class, fill it up again. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm a sparkling water. And then I take the, kind of like the 1850s approach to just drinking beer in the evenings then, you know, so that I drink sparkling water or beer water.
Beer water. A beer beverage.
Yep.
I'll have a beer drink. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. Be safe out there. I say on some of these coins right now, there's amazing buying opportunities. If you're looking at the market right now and you're seeing what's going on with Ethereum, you're seeing what's happening with Bitcoin. Watch Bitcoin's price. Wait for these whales that are about to dump. I'm telling you, they're going to be shorting. I mean, if you look at the short markets right now, look at that. Skyrocketing. Whoop. Sorry. skyrocketing the amount of whales that are sitting on short positions right now. This is the BTC shorts chart. One day, all of these whales getting ready to dump, waiting for Bitcoin to dump a little bit. So just prepare over the next few days to start hearing some fake news stories about Bitcoin and how Bitcoin is going to be banned in China, whatever it's going to be. You're going to start hearing fake news stories about it, and the mainstream media is going to start doing stories about it. And then these guys will watch Bitcoin's price go down to 35,000 or 32, and they're going to make a lot of money, and they're going to buy up all of your coins, and they're going to ride it back up because Bitcoin is in a bull market right now. All of the indicators show that Bitcoin is going to surge, is on its way up. We hit that higher high recently. Ethereum as well is a buying opportunity in some of these zones right now in that 2,000 range to 2,300 range. I mean, Cardano is a buy, in my opinion. All of these right now are in a position to be buying, and they're like on sale right now. So just wait. You see Bitcoin dominance pulling back, but just something fishy is going on here. When you have a Bitcoin short market that looks this thick right now, frothy, look at that. All you need to do is look at the charts. That's it. And so if Bitcoin is pulling back right now a little bit, has a little bit of a retest moment here, let me get this indicator off here. You know, it's bouncing up here. It's at 38,000 right now. I wouldn't be surprised if we have Bitcoin down here in the 35 range, 36, somewhere in that range. Maybe it has support from here, so 35. And they'll be buying it up again. Every time we have these dips, they buy. Okay. So just get ready for it to come down here and they're going to buy. But please don't be stupid if, you know, you just watch your charts. I'm not going to sell. Don't sell, in my opinion. I can't give you financial advice, but, you know, if it were me, I would not be selling. I'd be waiting for this to take off. Because they're waiting on you to sell them cheap Bitcoin. That's what's going to happen. So thank you everyone for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our daily newsletter. Just go to morninginvest.com. That's the place to do it. Morninginvest.com, delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. And we give you a newsletter that's full of great stories, full of little humor as well. And you can take advantage of that. So you get it delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thanks, Philip, for stepping in for David's awful internet.
Yeah, I'm always glad to do it.
Absolutely. And by the way, should we open it up and say, hey, who's new here?
Sure, let's go. Oh, it looks like hang on. There's also, it looks like a couple of super chats came in right at the end, too. So
we got a few, 2 minutes
most
here.
Most of them were tossed up there. So super chat from Demetrius Striplin. Where are those likes at? That is a good question.
Give us some likes. Thank you so much. We have 6,000 people watching. Let's see if we can get it up to like 6,000 likes right now.
And
thank you, Demetrius.
And then Derek Brown, where you're looking for that, I'm going to switch over to the turn off members only.
Mark Sparks. Yeah, we're going to turn off members only chat. If you're new to the show, let us know. Let us know if you're new here. Where is Grover? Oh, Grover just ran up here. Let me get a camera on him here. There he is. Let me move the camera over. He just ran up, found his little spot. Grover. He's sleeping. And he's wiped.
He's busy.
He's not even budging. We had to give him his one of his shots yesterday or 2 days ago, so he's just been a little lethargic. Hey, Byron Forbes is new here. Welcome. Mr. Brightstar is new. New. Hey, is it okay to get into kits through? Yes, that's the one I invested through, Saline, KTYCF. That's right. Am I saying your name right? Saline? Saline War Machine. Oh, okay, I guess that's not your real name, is it? That'd be awesome if your last name was War Machine.
That would be an awesome last name.
Right. Hi, my name is Philip. What's your last name? War Machine.
my middle name is The.
Jonathan Winter is here. Good to see you. Martina Agundez. I'm new. Welcome. Let's see, who else is new? Celios Alvarez is new. Welcome. Drunk Mom Gaming is new. Welcome. Got a lot of newbies here. If you're new here, go ahead and subscribe. We do the show every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time. New. Byron Vaughn is new. Hello, War Machine, Osama says. Yeah, Carlos says gas price is surging to 10 bucks. Well, yeah, oil prices at a two-year high now. Olby Beauchard says, I'm new. Glad to be here. Happy to have you. Awesome Channel says, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Becky Medvets, nice to see you. 6 Foot Kitten says, rookie here. Dakota says, I'm new. Emmanuel is new from Sweden. Drew Davies is new. Thank you so much. Bufo the best. Tether is super sketchy. Please cover more of that. Thank you. Yeah, there's some questions about Tether. I mean, I have a lot of money in Tether. I use it, you know, temporarily as I'm when I move money over USDT, but so Olawashina says, new to the show, love you already, from Nigeria. Nigeria in the house. Derek Brown says, why did Kusama drop to $75 on Monday at 5 a.m.? You know, what's weird is Monday, Sunday into Monday is weirdness because, you know, Asia is waking up, right? So once Asia wakes up, a lot of movement happens and you finally get like a lot more volume funneling into the market. Well, if you have like, if you have Bitcoin surging like it was, and you had this big Bitcoin movement, then you had some pullbacks in some of these other spots. I don't know why it dropped down. I mean, I don't know why it dropped down to 75. I don't own any Kusama. I got stopped out on Kusama. But $75 Kusama is like an absolute steal in price. Thomas King says, love to watch. Thank you so much.
This bot, like just over and over and over replying this. So if anybody sees this, this is what the bots look like, and this is how they do it. I was blessed by Mrs. Rebecca and her platform. Don't ever fall for this.
Yeah, guys, you'll see in my comment threads here on the channel, it really drives me nuts. It's not me, okay? When you guys post a comment, we try to read every one of your comments on our channel. But what happens is, like, you might make a nice post, and then there'll be a scammer bot that'll come in. It'll say, WhatsApp me at 1-800, blah, 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 blah. That's obviously not me. Okay, it's like they'll use a fake profile name. They'll use my picture. I've even had people write to me that say, hey, on Telegram, people are creating a fake Morris Morning Invest channel on Telegram. I have a Morning Invest channel on Telegram that I post different trades that I'm making and things. I will never ask you for money, ever, okay? And so people will be like, hey, I have a trading group. You got to join my trading group, and it's you know, a couple $1,000. Join. I'll make trades for you. I don't do that. I do my own trades. Don't ever listen to these scammers, okay?
Another really good indicator is that when you look at those posts, how many like special characters they have to use to get around the chat filters. Yeah. Clayton doesn't need to get around his own chat filters.
Exactly. SI says, I made $2 million in crypto. Awesome. Way to go. Daniel G says, yeah, there are 4 of them on Telegram, 4 fake Morning Invest channels on Telegram. The real Morning Invest Telegram channel is in the description below, okay? The real one. So if you want to follow me on Telegram, it's the real one is in the chat below. Thank you, Crystal says, I like your Telegram. Yeah, I mean, every channel has these things. I mean, every financial-related channel, they try to get you to... It's ridiculous. So just ignore them, ignore them, ignore them. Please know that I will never post that stuff there. So...
And the reality is they know that the majority of people aren't going to. But with the scams, they just need one person a day. So if they put out 10,000 comments and they just get that one person, then that's success in their eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Steve Forrester, I'm new. I've got dementia. LOL. He says LOL. Steve Forrester, welcome. Is that because you drink a lot of Diet Coke? Yes, Moroccans in Britain. Can I share your show to my group? Moroccans in Britain. Yes, please do. I would love to. I mean, Look, the one of the best ways you can support our show, our channel here, is we cover the news, I think, that matters to most people, to normal people, not Wall Street. We cover the people's currency. We teach you how to be insulated and protect you from governments ripping you off and these politicians ripping you off. And we ultimately hope try to teach you how to build wealth. That's the goal. So anytime you can share our channel with anybody, that's a huge deal for us. Like the channel, subscribe to the channel. Tomorrow here on the channel, I'm actually going to be taking the day off, a rare Friday off. And Natalie, co-writer of our newsletter, you've seen her here on the show before. Natalie's going to be hosting the show tomorrow. While I get an early Father's Day gift, they got me a little going away present to go away for 2 days with no kids and waking us up at 6 a.m. and I get to sleep in and maybe play some golf. I don't know, but just relax basically. So I'm looking forward to that. So I guess I'll see if Natalie can do the pets tomorrow. If not, we'll have to get them. We always do pets every Friday, but if it's too much for her, somebody wants to know about AMP. People keep asking about AMP. It's pets at morninginvest.com if anyone wants to send that in. AMP. You want to talk about AMP, the AMP dollar on Gemini? Look at that. I mean, surging right now. This is a one-day chart. I would definitely wait for a retest on this. I don't own any of this. I'm not terribly familiar with it, to be honest with you. There's a lot of other projects right now that I'm very bullish on. Like, look at DOT. Okay. DOT at $23 is an absolute steal. And you know what this is right now, folks? If you're watching, this is accumulation phase right here. Okay. This is accumulation. And every time that we get down here, the bulls are buying. Every time we go into these dips, the bulls are buying. So they're going to wait for it to dip again, and the bulls are going to buy. And then what's going to happen, usually in accumulation phase, this is a head and shoulders pattern. Shoulders, head, right here is a shoulder, head, shoulder. Typically in this type of a pattern, this is usually a bearish pattern. So we could even see a little bit further decline on DOT. Even get in here maybe, or even here before it takes off. But DOT at $23 is fantastic. I'm big into Cardano, as you know. Again, keep doing that today. Cardano also, I mean, at $1.49. Sorry, my sister's texting me. Should put this in Do Not Disturb. So there you go. Some little quick charts for you. Anyway, we got to jump. I got to go do some trades right now. We will be back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. We should have a video later today as well. There's some interesting things happening right now with stable coins. So I'm probably going to be covering that later today. Hopefully check that out. Be sure to subscribe to the channel and turn on the little bell notification. So you can take advantage of that. And go check out, we did a video yesterday on Kits, a company I'm very bullish on. Go check that video out from yesterday. Go check that out. It's the eyeglasses company out of Canada. And they're on OTC stocks, a really cheap stock right now, but they just exceeded expectations on earnings and distribution. And so, like, analysts have their price target now about $16, $17 on up to $20. So incredibly undervalued. Go check out that that video and do your due diligence and see if it's a fit for you. But you'd have to do that trade on like E-Trade or TD Ameritrade or Fidelity, one of the bigger exchanges that allows you to do OTC stocks. So check that out. All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We'll be back here bright and early tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Thanks, Philip. Thanks, everyone.